Mark chapter 14, go to verse number 46. It says, "And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." Dear Father, thank you so much for your word. Pray we can learn something from it tonight, and I pray to use me and give me the right words to say tonight as we dive into the scripture passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus here had given his life to the earth and to these people for 3.5 years. When he needed them the most, they forsook him. And they didn't stand with him. When the times got hard, they left him. And he needed them more than any other time. After everything he had done for them, you would have thought that they would have stood there. Everything they had seen, everything they had witnessed, you would have thought they wouldn't have turned him in. Or you thought they wouldn't have crucified him. But like the Bible says, the prophecy had to be fulfilled. And if they would have stuck with Jesus, prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. It's sad to think of during this time when people were wondering where they were at. Were they going to stand with Jesus or were they going to cave? Were they going to quit? Were they going to give up? It was a dark time. Their leader had been taken away from them, was going to be crucified. And we see here in this passage here, the Bible says, "I was daily with you in the temple," verse 29, 49, "teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." And they all forsook him and fled. Today, in today's world, I believe we've got the epidemic of today is young people and people in general quitting on things. It is all over. When we dive into it, when we look at the things of our culture and our life, we've got young people, we've got young adults who just quit. Every time something gets hard, they quit. You look at jobs, and if their job isn't perfect, if someone said something they didn't like, or their boss wasn't the nicest to them, and it's not a perfect environment, they want to quit. They quit, and then they go and live with their parents until they figure it out, and then they don't figure it out, and they get involved in video games, and they're down in the basement all day long. This is society. This is society that we live in, right? It happens all around us. People are quitting. They're quitting on their jobs. They're quitting on their marriage. My dad told me, if you don't like the job that you have, then look for a better one and stay at the job that you have until you figure out the other job. But the problem is they don't like it, they quit. They go to the next job, they quit. They go to the next job, they quit. I know a guy who just could never stay with the same job, and it was every single year was doing something new. Oh, yeah, I got this job. Oh, I got this job. No, oh, I got, this is better at this job. And this is better at this job. And now this, and it was one job. I mean, every year for about 15 years straight, the guy had sometimes in the same year had numerous jobs. Just like, that ain't healthy for you. And it's not healthy for your marriage either to be never have anything settled. But we have this mentality now in our culture of just quitting on everything. We see marriages all around quitting left and right. The divorce rate is up over 60% right now in America for the first marriage and 71% for the second marriage. People aren't committed anymore. I wish I could say like my grandparents could say back in our day, boy, when you said for better or for worse, it meant till the day you die. But it's not like that anymore. But us as Christians should still mean that. But it's becoming a part of our society and everything we look at to just quit. We look at our politicians, and boy, they stand up for things, and we vote for them, and then they quit on all that. And then all of a sudden, whoever can pay them the most, they're going to stand up for that, and then they're going to push that. No one just stands up for something and sticks to it. Everyone's quitting left and right. And if we're not careful as Christians, we'll let that into our lives. And we'll let the things that this world is doing, we can look at the world, and we can look at all the craziness going on out there. And as Christians, if we're not careful, we can make ourselves feel good that we're doing really good in life and they're doing really bad in life. But the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible tell us to compare ourselves to the world, correct? Never tells us to compare ourselves to the world. It tells us to compare ourselves to Christ. And when we do that, we look pretty bad. We don't look very good. We look rough. We look messed up. We got a lot of holes in our life. We got a lot of black in our life that shouldn't be there and things that need to be fixed. But quitting. I'm glad that I had a dad in my life that pushed me never to quit on anything. The one thing that I did quit in life that I wish I never quit on, and I live with that regret still this day, was I wish I didn't quit. My wife's looking at me because I say it like all the time. Is I wish when I took piano lessons that I stuck with it so that I could play like some of these ladies play. I wish I could do that, but I quit on that. And young people, if you take piano lessons or the trumpet or different instruments that your parents are having you take, and boy, you just don't feel like practicing and you don't feel like doing it, and your parents are pushing you to do it, they're pushing you to do a good thing. Stick to it. Give it everything you got, because I promise you, someday you will be glad. During the time when you're learning, very few people enjoy that whole beginning stage, right? Parents don't even enjoy it, right? You're having to hear all that, and just the clinking and the just all the messed notes. No one enjoys it, but you enjoy the finished product. You enjoy it when you get to the time. No one enjoys building the house right now, but when it gets done, it looks nice. Man, it's great. It looks great. That finished product is something that we enjoy. And as young people, don't quit on that. Don't quit on something that your parents are pushing you to do. I see we had a young person, a very good young person in our Christian school back home, and he was taking piano lessons, and he really wanted to take piano lessons. Then he got into it. And his teacher was requiring him to do so much practice. And man, he was playing sports. He was doing all these other things and busy with life. And he just wasn't practicing. And I could tell. He was never doing anything in church. Nothing was going on. I'm at school all day with him. He never practiced. He'd get done with his goals. And he was older kid, so he had permission. We had a piano there that he could go and practice on. Had headphones. And he had permission to go play. But he was never playing. Never practicing. I'm asking his sibling, hey, so does he practice at home at all? And they're like, no, like never. I'm like, someone else in the church was paying for his lessons, for him to get done. And it wasn't his parents. It was another person in the church because they saw that he had some talent. And he wasn't practicing. And man, I did not want him to live with the same regret that I had. And I went and had a serious conversation with him. And I said, you've got a natural ability to play piano. It comes natural to you. Before you even started piano lessons with somebody, you just started picking it up. And you started learning. You gained that passion. And then when it took a little more work than you thought, and it got a little more stressful, now you're not practicing. You're basically thinking of quitting. He said, how'd you know I'm thinking of quitting? I'm like, you don't practice. You pretty much have already quit. You don't ever do anything with it. Someone else is paying hundreds of dollars for you to take piano lessons, and you're never doing nothing with it. God's not getting the glory out of it. I said, do not quit. Just stick at it. I said, I know you like playing sports. I know you like playing basketball. But I said, someday when you're older and you're my age and you can hardly run on the basketball court anymore and you can do more with your fingers, you'll wish you played piano. You'll wish you played an instrument. Man, he just was like, him and Han about it. And I made him promise me that he would stick to it and that he had put in a certain amount of hours a week. Then he became the church pianist. Then he became... my sister pushed him so hard that he was playing for two piano specials every church service, and he was just getting stressed out. But he said, man, I love it. It is so awesome. I'm so glad that I didn't quit. We don't ever decide not to quit and then get through something and say, man, I just wish I would have quit on that. I was so dumb. Why did I keep doing this? We always live with regret when we decide to quit. When we quit on a marriage, you don't hear people say, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. Just help my family that we just gave up on each other and we didn't work through it and we didn't work through the tough parts. And I'm so glad that we just quit on each other and quit on our kids. That's never an exciting thing. It's a selfish thing, but it's not. When you quit, it's always going to affect other people around you. It's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit. Did you know that over 1,500 preachers quit the ministry every single day? Not all independent fundamental Baptists, but preachers in general, pastors in general. 1,500 a day are quitting the ministry. A report came out said that over 4,000 Bible college students who were called to preach put their Bible down and said they would never preach again. 4,000. Just last year, 4,000 men that were called to preach. And it's happening all around us. People are quitting. Maybe you've considered quitting on something that you're doing right now. Maybe you've thought and considered quitting on your marriage. Maybe you've thought on quitting on a ministry that you're involved in. Maybe you've thought of quitting a job that you shouldn't quit, that's not going to help your family. I don't know what it is, but I challenge you tonight to not quit. Don't take in this world's philosophy of quitting on everything. The grass is not always green on the other side. I always say it's AstroTurf over there, right? It's just fake. It's not real, okay? Don't quit your church thinking some other church is a better church because they got nicer people. Every church has mean people, all right? You're not going to go to a church, all right? You're not going to go to a church where everyone just says nice flowery things to you. It makes you feel like you're unbelievable. You're the most special person in the world. Every church has people that are going to say things about you. They're going to maybe make up drama, and they're going to, I mean, I can't tell you how many things have been said about me that if I wanted to, I could just quit and think it was a good excuse, but it wasn't a good excuse. But it happens all the time. We got to fight through it. We've got to develop that thick skin. Nowadays in sports, we got players quit and left. Sports has become so much drama, it's ridiculous. Sports players now are just leaving team. Oh, this is not working out. I'm going to jump ship and go over here. Back in the day, players used to play on the same team for 15, 20 years and then retire with that team. But now, because of our culture, if something doesn't go right, boom, they want to go over to that team. Or they pay me more. Or they don't say mean things about me. This coach is too mean. He pushes us too hard in practice. He runs us too much. So I'm going to jump ship and go over here. I'm going to get easier and play with all these superstars so we can go win a championship. It's just all over society right now of quitting. So tonight, what is it that God uses to help us from quitting? I got a few things here that I've got for you that I hope can help you. Number one, the price he paid for us. Things that will help you from quitting tonight. All right? It's always too soon to quit. The price that he paid for us. Nothing thrills my soul more than when I think about what Jesus did for me. More than thinking about that price that he paid for me. Every single one of us in this room, we're on our way to a place called hell. But because of what he did, because God sent his son Jesus die on the cross for us and go through all that pain, do I need tonight to go through the story of the agony and all the different things that were said about him, all the pain that he endured for you? On an individual basis. Sometimes I think as Christians, we think just, you know, as in general, he did it for us and he did do it for us, but he did it for you. He did it for me. And when we think about ourselves personally and think someone did something for us, when a friend or a family member does something big for us personally, it means something to us. Just because he did it for other people, it doesn't mean it's less special. He did something that is the greatest thing that could ever be given to you. And he gave you that eternal life up in heaven. We owe him with our life. We owe him that we're not going to quit on him. He did something for us that is unrepayable, but we sure can't do the best job we can to try to pay it back. Have you ever thought about what he went through? Jesus died so that we could have eternal life. He was forsaken by God so that we would never have to be forsaken by God. He was thirsty so that we could be satisfied. He was laughed at so that we could be accepted. He died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. God gave of his best. When you think about that, it ought to make you never want to quit on him. He gave of his best for you. Have you ever given your daughter, have you ever given your son for somebody else? Because that's what God did for you. That's what God did for you. Is he someone who's worth quitting on tonight? When you quit on your marriage, you're quitting on him. God gave you that spouse. God gave you those children. God gave you that ministry that you're involved in. God gave you that bus route. God gave you that soul that you're supposed to go lead to the Lord. God gave you those neighbors for a reason. You may not like them, but he gave them to you for a reason, for you to be an example to, maybe to lead them to the Lord. God's given you some things in your life. Are you just going to quit on them? I remember probably about 4 or 5 years ago, we had saved up some money to buy a nice couch. We had never really bought a brand new couch. We just bought used couches. And some people had given us couches through the years. We said, man, we want to buy a nice couch, one that has the buttons, you know, and man, it's just, you know, going all out. And so we saved up some money and we decided to go to this furniture store that was having a big sale. Man, we were super excited. After 6 years of marriage, it was our first nice couch we were going to buy. And man, I remember going there. We went through all the couches and we picked out the couch that we thought, man, this fits in our budget. This is perfect. We like it. It's got all the gadgets. Boy, you can plug your phone into it. It's fancy. This is nice. Let's get it. So we got that couch, and we had to go to another warehouse to pick up the couch. And so we got it, got all excited, got home. It came in sections, so you had to put it all together. And some of you have done that, I'm sure. And so we had to put it all together. We get it all together, plug it in. I go to sit down on the couch. Crunch. What in the world? And I thought, I go sit in another one. Crunch. I flip the thing upside down. There's broken boards all in. I'm like, oh, my goodness. We bought it from a furniture store that was closing down. And I'm like, we just spent a ton of money on this thing. Are we going to get our money back? I mean, this thing is terrible. It doesn't even work. We just spent a ton of money on it. We just paid a high price for this. Then I called the place up and like, oh, it shouldn't be broken like that. Are you sure you? And then you know how they, you know what they do, right? They start blaming you and trying to get you to be the one that I said, we just picked it up and it was in our van and then we sat it down. Is it break that easily? Is that how cheap your furniture was? And they finally agreed to give us another one. So we go pick up another one, bring it back, crunch. Another one's broken. I was like, there's no way they're going to do it again. There's no way they're going to give us another shot. Boy, we were praying, man, Lord, we saved up a ton of money for this. This is our first couch. Like, we paid too much money for this thing to not work. We already sold our other couch. This is the only couch that we have. We can't be sitting on crunch, crunch every night. Like, Lord, we need a good couch. And boy, I remember calling them back up and they said, well, you need to bring it to us. We need to figure this out. And they said, this is the last time. We're not doing it again. And man, I brought them the couch back. I said, they're being busted. Whoever's moving them in your warehouse is not doing it right. And they gave us that other couch. And man, we brought it home. I was so like scared to sit down. And it was like, sat down carefully on the thing and it worked great. And the kids, man, as soon as the kids see a new couch, what do they want to do? They want to go sit nicely on it, right? No, they want to jump on it. I'm like, no, don't jump on it. Praise the Lord, it's still working to this day until Brother Nathan broke it the other day when he was helping us move in. I was kidding. No, but I remember paying that high price and not getting what I thought I was going to get for it. And I think God paid a high price for you and he paid a high price for me. And he's not always getting what he thinks he should get from you. And we're not giving enough to him. We're not doing what we should be doing for him. And he paid this high price for us. Yet we're not giving it back to him. If you've ever hired somebody to ever work for you or do some work at your house and you've paid them pretty good, you don't like it when they don't do a good job. You don't like it when they don't do what you wanted them to do, where you gave them instructions, said, here, I need you to do this, this, and this, and then they don't do it. If it's your kids, I'm not going to pay my kids to do something if they didn't do a good job. I mean, I don't really pay my kids in general unless it's like 50 cents or something. Going to the store or something like that. But we don't like it when we don't get something that we paid for, especially when we paid a high price. The higher the price, the better the product should be. It should not break if we pay a bunch of money for it. God paid the ultimate price for you. Don't get to a point in your life where you're done. You break, you quit, you give up on him, and you don't want to serve him anymore, and it's too hard for you. The Bible says that he's not going to give you something too hard that you can't bear with his help. On your own, you can't bear it. But with his help, we can get through some tough stuff. And when you're going through something tough, and you've got a burden that you're bearing, and you think that you need to quit, it's most likely, what I've learned with people, it's most likely because you have drifted away in your relationship with the Lord. You've drifted away in your Bible reading. You're not as close anymore, and you haven't taken priority when it comes to your relationship with God and getting on your knees with him and having a relationship on a daily basis. And you're just trying to survive by coming to church and just doing all the good deeds, but you're not actually building your relationship up with God. That's when you will quit on the Lord. That's when it's time you'll give up the towel. Another reason, another way that will keep us from quitting, God gives us, is the patience he has with us. I'll tell you what, I'm glad you're not God, and I'm glad I'm not God. Because if I gave my son for you, and then I watched your life, and I saw everything you did in your life, I would be angry. I would be upset. I wouldn't have patience with you. I would say, I gave my son for you. I gave everything that I had, the most important thing in my life, I gave it for you so that you could just serve me with your life, so that you could do more for me. I would get angry. You would get angry too. If you put yourself in God's shoes, boy, we could get pretty upset because of the price that we paid for you. The patience that he has with us. It's amazing in your life when you think about what you've done, some of the decisions that you've made, and God's given you a second chance. I'm glad that God's not the God that just says, nope, done with you. That's it, you made a mistake, done. None of us would be here tonight if that's all God was. None of us would be where we're at today. None of us would have the families that we have today if it wasn't for God's chances that he gives us in our lives. I will tell you this, though, God runs out of that patience with you. And God will do things in your life that you wish would never happen, because you're not doing what he wants you to do. But he has a lot of patience with us in our life. We have his unconditional love. He loves us beyond our faults and our mistakes in our life. And that's what is so great about God, because of his unconditional love, despite our sins. My mom, when I was a teenager, you might have seen these back in the day, as seen on TV, they're some of the best products you can possibly buy on earth, because they're the products that people saw on TV, and they were the smart ones and didn't buy them. So then they're in a warehouse sitting there, and they're trying to sell them, and then other people come and buy those because no one actually saw the product but buy them. My mom loved buying. I mean, she could see anything on TV and thought it was the greatest product. Like, oh my goodness, how did they think of that? You know? And boy, they're always great at good ideas, but they're just never, when you talk about quality, anything that says a scene on TV is not high quality, all right? It's like a gimmick, right? Something that's like fun, but just never really works. And I remember my mom, you know, every now and then would kind of buy some of those things. And, you know, I'm just like, what is this one now? You know, what is this thing? And she bought one of those hoses. You know, they were, I don't know if you remember those or not. And they still have them. They're called like pocket hoses, I believe, back in the day. I don't know if they changed the name. But they're small little hoses. And I remember seeing that thing like, what is this? Pocket hose? I'm like, Mom, who's going to put a hose in their pocket? Like, what in the world? And she said, there's 50 feet of hose in that. I said, 50 feet of hose? There's no way there's 50 feet of hose. She's like, yeah, it is. She's like, look at the instructions. I saw it on TV. She's just like, go try it out. And I'm like, I mean, when I think of a hose, I think it's got to be hard and durable and just strong. And like, even those ones, man, they get cut up sometimes. I'm thinking, whatever's in this is not going to last around here. All right, we got dogs, or we got a lot of things around here that are going to break this thing. And I remember getting it out, and I remember opening that thing up. She wanted me to go get it set up for her. And I remember opening it up, and for one, I looked at it, and it was just all wrinkled and tied up and just, I mean, it was just all messed up. It was smashed in there. And I thought, this is the worst presentation ever if this is supposed to be a good product, because it just looks terrible. And I remember opening up the instructions, and it said, don't try to stretch it out. Don't try to fix the wrinkles. And it said, don't try to fix the knots. Just hook it up to the water and let the water flow through it. I said, all right, we're going to test this out. I thought, we're going to go plug this thing in. Not going to work. I'm going to tell my mom, stop buying things on CNTV. We're going to throw this thing away. I went and hooked that thing up, and it's just sitting there. It's supposed to be 50 feet long, and it's like 8 inches. And I'm tying it on there, and it's just hanging there. Turn that water on. I remember, like, as a teenager, like, what in the world? I would have bought this if I would have seen this on TV. Never seen that water just float through that thing, and all of a sudden, it wasn't an ugly hose anymore. All of a sudden, man, this thing's the greatest thing ever. I'm going to go buy one of these when I get married someday. This is great. Takes up like no space at all. But I thought of us as Christians and how, boy, on our own, we look terrible. We look all wrinkled up and a mess, and our lives are a mess, and we've got knots all in our life. And on our own, we are absolutely have no value in our life. No one looks at us and thinks we're a great person. But boy, when the water of Jesus flows through us, something is all of a sudden looking good in our life. Because of him, all of a sudden we can be used of him and actually have something in our life that is actually valuable. But before he came into our life, we were worthless. We were absolutely nothing. And even though as Christians we have him in our life, we are still worthless without his help. When we don't reach out to him and ask him for help, we are worthless. And if we're not careful, we are living a life as a Christian. We're doing the same thing. I've grown up in church my whole life, and I've seen so many Christians that come to church and they do the church thing, or teenagers that come to church and they've got a smile on their face and it looks like they're a good Christian. It looks like they're doing what they should be doing. It looks like they have a great relationship with God, but on the inside, they're fake. On the inside, they're not real. I've seen teenagers that shook me and surprised me that I thought were doing good, that I thought had a relationship with the Lord, but on the inside, they were fooling everybody because they were a different person in here. And when it came time, they quit on God. Just like so many young people, when they leave church, it says, are quitting on God. I'm trying to remember the number here I had written down. It said, where is it at here? 70% of young people that grow up in church, when they turn 18, 70% are leaving church and not coming back. 70%. You could go through the young people of the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that grew up in this church or grew up in the Christian school who are not in church today. I could go on through and tell you of all the people at my church back home that were in church but then quit. Imagine how big of a building we would need if from day one of Blessed Hope for the last 50 years, everybody just stuck it out. Right. And people didn't quit. Right. People that, you know, if they're still alive today and they were here 30, 40, 50 years ago and were just still in church because they decided I'm not going to quit, we couldn't fit them all in here. We wouldn't want to, at least, all right? We'd be all up on top of each other. We would need a building probably 3 or 4 times this size because of how many people have quit on the Lord. Don't think that you're not going to quit on the Lord. Everyone who quits never thought, you know what, I'm going to quit. I can't wait to quit. Looking forward to that day that I can just quit. Nobody thinks like that. But if you make decisions the wrong way, and you remove yourself from things, and you start stepping away from your Bible reading, you stop stepping away from the relationship with God, all of a sudden your mindset is changing on things. You become weaker as a Christian. And when you're weak, boy, that's when we are not strong. That's when we're not strong. That's when we make the worst decisions of our life, is when we get weak and we get away from the Lord. God has patience for us, but it only lasts for so long. Number three tonight, the people watching you. Things that will keep you from quitting, the people that are watching you. Growing up, my mom and dad instilled in me, I was just talking to Brother Jeff about this, about as the oldest kid in my family, my parents told me that I had a huge responsibility that the Lord placed upon me as the oldest child, that if I serve the Lord with my life, my siblings will probably do the same. There's a better chance of them making it for the Lord if me as an older sibling, if I serve the Lord with my life. And I always had that ringing in the back of my head just all the time as I was growing up because my parents kept reminding upon it. It was a big burden that the Lord put upon it, but he used my parents to reveal it to me. And there was many times in my life where I never really considered quitting on God, but I certainly considered, you know, getting involved in the wrong kind of music, and getting involved in things that I shouldn't have got involved in, and maybe dating a person that I shouldn't have dated. But always in the back of my head, I thought, is that going to help my siblings? Is that going to help my friends that are following me, the younger ones in our church? And my parents instilled that into me, that others are watching you. When you quit on the Lord, it doesn't just affect you. And when you quit on church, or you quit on things that you're involved in, it never affects just you. I don't care how quiet of a person you are, it always affects more people. Always. Every person I ever saw leave our church growing up, always they pulled other people, or other people got discouraged because they left. I saw good people that quit on the Lord, and I saw other good people who almost quit on the Lord because that person quit on the Lord. They got discouraged because they left. I don't know what to do. They're one of my closest friends. Why'd they leave church? You're going to affect other people. So when you think about quitting, or whatever it is you're thinking about quitting, just understand that it's not going to affect just you. It's going to affect all of those around you. It's going to affect your kids. It's going to affect your spouse. It's going to affect other friends that you have, family members that you have, people in church. It's going to affect your pastor. It certainly doesn't help your pastor when he sees you quit on things, when he sees you go backwards in your life. It doesn't encourage your pastor, right, who's going through cancer. The last thing he wants to hear about is someone quitting on something. He wants to hear people going forward in their life. Lastly tonight, the punishment that I should have to endure if I quit. That ought to keep you from quitting right there. You see, God's our Heavenly Father. And as a parent, when your child does something they shouldn't do, you've got discipline in your home. Every home's different. In my home growing up and in my kids' home growing up, for them, they get spankings. All right, they get spankings. I believe that's the way it should be. And no kid enjoys spankings. I'll be the first to tell you that as a kid. All right? I did not enjoy spankings. And my kids don't enjoy spankings. I'm thankful that they learn from those spankings because I don't want to have to do it over for the same thing. You get saddened as a parent when you've got to discipline your kid for the exact same thing they just did yesterday. But it's necessary because they learn from that. I give the illustration all the time that for salvation, when I'm talking to somebody about the sins that that we've done in our life, I can't pay for your sins and you can't pay for my sins. We're both sinners, correct? We needed somebody to come here to take our sins and bear them upon themselves. We can't help each other. And I always ask people, I say, do you have a sibling? And they, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, did you guys ever get in trouble growing up together? Oh, yeah, like all the time. I'm like, do you think if you would have gone to your parents and told them, you know, let me have all the punishment for them, you know, I just want to take it all upon me. Don't get them in trouble or don't give them a spanking. Just give it all to me. Do you think your parents would go for that? I've never had anybody say, yeah, probably. No, they're all, no. I'm like, why? Because my sibling would never learn from it. They would just do it again. It's like common sense, right? Common sense. Well, God's our Heavenly Father. And when he lets us get away with things and doesn't discipline us, we're just going to do it again. A kid that goes to the candy store and steals something from the candy store and doesn't get in trouble and no one catches him, it just ends right there, right? That's his last time ever doing it. It was great, got away with it, and he's just moving on. What happens? He's going back again. And the next time he goes back, he's grabbing an extra one, an extra bag, and he's going to get more and get more. And before long, that kid's going to be stealing things that are even bigger, and then he's going to end up in jail or in prison because it never got corrected. And God knows that in your life. And when you quit on him, remember the price he paid for you. He gave his son for you. When you quit on God, when you quit church, you quit the things you're involved in, he's not happy about it because he gave his son for you. And because of that, when we quit on him, there is punishment involved. There's punishment involved. There was a kid growing up with me. He was a year and a half older than me. His dad was an assistant pastor in our church and worked for my dad for many years. And his son was the best at everything. He was like the most athletic in our school. He was what I thought was the most spiritual kid. He could, in Bible class, he knew all the answers. He'd answer everything. And it was never stumped with anything. But in chapel, if we had Bible quiz questions, he answered every one of them. We'd go to some competitions sometimes and have Bible quiz teams. Man, he just dominated. He just knew his Bible from the front to the back, back to the front. And he just knew it all. And I want to be like him. Like, how does he know all this stuff? But I remember him deciding when he turned 18, he wanted nothing to do with church. I never knew it growing up with him. I was one of his friends. I had absolutely no idea. But he quit on God. He quit on church, quit on his parents, wanted absolutely nothing to do with his parents, hated his parents, left church, and got involved in some gangs. Got involved in some big-time fights, knocked his teeth out, got tattooed all up. Has had, I don't even know, I haven't checked in many years, but last I checked, he had over 6 kids with like 3 or 4 different women and was paying child support for all of them. He was living on the streets as homeless. He just looked like a different person than what I knew growing up. The person that I envisioned was this kid. You go back and you look at the school yearbooks of this kid. Man, he just looks like a great kid. Looks like he's going to do something great for the Lord. We've got videos of him preaching in teen church services and stuff. And just, boy, he had a bright future, but on the inside, he was fake. And when it came time for he had an opportunity where he could actually quit and make that decision, he quit. And because of that, there was consequences for that. God punished him. God tried to wake him up. But I've learned with most Christians, when they quit on the Lord, and then God punishes them, tries to wake them up, they're so embarrassed that they don't want to come back. I've seen very, very few. I haven't lived a long time. But I've talked to my dad numerous times about this, Pastor Ross and other pastors. Very, very, very few people that quit on the Lord, that get chastised by God and get punished by him and come back to church. It's rare. I thank God for when it happens. But if you think you're going to quit on God and you're going to come back, I would think twice before you think about that. Because it's rare to ever happen. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that punishment in my life. Just like we didn't want that punishment when we were kids for our parents. I'd rather get that spanking than I'd rather get God's punishment in my life. I don't want his punishment. The little bits that I've gotten from God, I don't like them. I don't want them in my life. And what I've seen, I've opened my eyes and I've seen with my own eyes what God has done to those that have quit on him. And I don't want no part of that. I want to be a part of the blessing side, amen? I want to be a part of the side where God says, man, I'm going to bless your life if you do this and you do this. If you're faithful to church, if you get on a bus route and you go soul-winning and you fulfill the Great Commission, boy, I'm going to bless you greater than you can possibly imagine. That's what I would rather have in my life. I hope tonight that that's what you would rather have in your life. I look at my life and I look at the life of my friend, Alex, that grew up together. He grew up in a great home. I grew up in a great home, but we have completely 2 different lifestyles. 2 different lifestyles. And it's not because of anything I've done. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for all the spiritual leaders that I had that pushed me in the right direction and that I made decisions that they encouraged me to make and got me to where I am today. And I feel so bad and so sorry for my friend Alex and the life that he has to live because of the consequences. I hope that the people that you've seen, everyone in this room, I guarantee you, has known somebody who's quit on God. Nobody in this room would stand up and say, boy, they're living a great life. It's just amazing. When I first became youth pastor, we had probably about a year and a half, we had a bunch of people in the church that kind of got upset at my dad. And a bunch of the main families got upset, some of the deacons and people. And they left our church. And I remember being young in the ministry and like, wow, this is tough. My youth group went from having about 25 to 30 kids to having about 8 to 9 kids, and those 8 to 9 kids were bus kids that I reached, and maybe like 1 or 2 of the church kids. And all these church teens had left the church, and boy, it was a sad day. And they all went across the town to another Baptist church that, you know, was a Baptist church, but they had some different standards. They were a little different. They were a weaker church when it came to standards than our church, when it came to their music and their dress. And boy, this pastor just accepted them all in. They never called my dad, never said a word. I remember seeing all these people, and my dad said, just watch. Watch their kids and see what happens from this decision on quitting on their church and leaving for a bad reason, and watch their kids and see what happens. And there's about 17, 18 total of them that were there. There's 2 out of the 18 that are serving the Lord that are doing good to this day. 16 of them. One of them committed suicide. One of them is a drunk, doesn't want nothing to do with God and church, and rarely visits his parents, and his dad was a deacon in our church. I mean, I could go through all the different stories of these kids, and it just breaks my heart. They were in my youth group, and because their parents quit on God, because their parents quit, some of them aren't even, the parents aren't even in church. They were a deacon in the church because they quit, and they decided they thought of a better way. It's better over here. The grass is greener over here. Man, I watch their life and I watch their family lives and I see the decisions that they've made and the things that they'll post online. It's just like, wow, to think where they were and where they went in a matter of a few years because of the quitting mentality. Because of, man, I'm not happy with this anymore. I'm going to change it up. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give up on this. I'm going to step back. Some of those people had stepped back in their ministries, and they didn't want to do this anymore, and they quit their Sunday school class. And you can see the writing on the wall. And then you look at their kids, and it's sad to look at. Well, the boy that committed suicide, we wanted to go to his funeral, and the dad emailed my dad and said, your family is not welcome to come to the funeral. It just brings up too much hurt. And it was like, hurt from us? What did we do? But people will do anything they can to blame other people. They won't accept the mistakes. They know they're wrong, but they don't want to accept that hurt. They don't want to accept that pain that they've inflicted upon their own lives. But it's sad to think of where your life could be if you quit today, if you quit tomorrow, if you quit on what God's given you. Don't quit. God has placed you where you are to get you to where you need to be. Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, thanks so much for the blessings that you've given to each and every one of us, the kids that you've given in our life, those of us that are parents in this room. We bear a huge responsibility in our lives to be the right example to our kids. I pray that as parents in this room, that our kids would never hear us talk negatively about church and about church members and about our pastor and about the things of the Lord. I pray that they would never hear that from us. I pray that they'd always hear positive things, because if us as parents fail in that area, our kids will soon quit on the Lord. We can't be fake at home and try to be real at church, Lord. We've got to be real wherever we're at. Whatever you've given us, Lord, I pray that we would do it to the max and give everything we have to you and decide today, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to, something may come up hard. Someone may say something, but I'm going to be here serving you with my life.